Blog Talk Radio.
Incense, your candles, and prepare yourself for our very own world-renowned master reader and loved one, Nunu. I am Bill, your co-pilot and meditation specialist, and now, Broken Earth.
Choosing the Broken Earth Radio Show. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on what time of day it is, where you are listening. First time back after a few weeks now due to me not being in the best of health. But we're back again. And today, we're going to be talking about black-eyed children, not the black-eyed peas, but psychic readings, some paranormal talk, and news from the past few weeks, some interesting articles to share with you. If you have any stories, anything paranormal, anything you'd like to share with us today, you can give us a call on Skype number 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. So please sit back, open your minds, and enjoy the show.
About this earth with just a suitcase in my hand, and I've met some bug-eyed Joes, I've met the blessed, I've met the damned, but of all the strange creatures in the air, at sea, on land, oh my girl, my precious girl, I love you, you understand. So reel me in, my precious girl, or come on, take me home. My body's tired of traffic, and my heart don't wish to roam. No, no. I have wandered, I have rambled, I have crossed this crowded sphere, and I've seen a mess of problems that I long to disappear.
Come on.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show. Happy Saturday. You know, for a lot of you guys out there listening, you know, we haven't been around for the past few weeks. But we're here now. Yay! And hopefully we should be back on track next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. UK. Broken Earth. Now, let me get to just straight to it. And remember, too, our lines are open. If anybody wants to give us a call to talk about our topics, get a simple sample reading to get in line for that. The number is 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. One of the things that's going to be kind of interesting, it's coming up on the 21st, which is Monday. There's going to be two suns in the sky. And I'll tell you why. There's the star called, and I hope I'm saying it right, Mechroid, M-E-C-C-Y-R-O-I-D, if anybody wants to check that out on the internet, on the interwebs, will pass by the planet Earth in such a manner that there will be two suns in our sky for 9 hours. This kind of phenomenon will only happen every 1,461 years and will not happen again until the year 3475. So don't miss out on this historical moment for mankind, because the next time it'll be around, you may not remember. Remember, nobody that is present today in this form will see it again. So don't miss it. It will be the brightest in the sky. Starting on the 21st of April, it will look as large as the sun from the naked eye, and this will culminate on the 21st of April when the star comes within 34.65 million miles of the Earth. So keep your eyes out there, and it, remember, it's spelled M-E-C-C-Y-R-O-I-D. That's also shared on our Facebook page, which is, very simply put, Broken Earth Radio Show on Facebook. So what do you think about that?
Sounds interesting. I'd like to see that. Keep an eye out for it. Freaking internet crashed, and I lost all my freaking bookmarks and everything.
You did? Okay.
I was logged into everything else.
Okay, well, you just keep doing what you're doing, okay? And did you want me to start talking about the black-eyed peas?
You can do if you want. Okay. I've got an article which introduces it, unless you've got an article.
Well, basically, let me just tell you, black-eyed children or the black-eyed kids it's a folk phenomenon of people having strange encounters with kids whose eyes are entirely black, who insist upon entering their vehicle, their homes, and who seem to ooze an overwhelming sense of fear and panic. There are hundreds of encounters with these black-eyed kids. So, you know, there's some that have been collected and that are kind of creepy. So the first one is one that's brought to you by No Sleep 2012, and it's called Midnight Caller. So everybody tuck in. It almost felt like a dream. I woke up to my dog Lucy barking. She was upright on the bed where my husband and I were sleeping with our 22-month-old daughter, staring at our door like an unknown stranger was out there rummaging around. I thought she was just freaking out over a house noise. We'd only had her for 3 months, and she was still a puppy. It could have been anything, our roommate, a creak from the house settling, the awnings moving outside in the breeze. I wasn't too concerned initially. I decided the best bet would be to open the door and show her nothing was there. It sounds a bit silly, but it's what we do with our daughter when she gets scared, and I figured it would work with a puppy too. I opened the door, and she raced to the front door. She stood there snarling at the door. It was an angry, violent growl. When I had never heard her make before, I looked groggily at her and opened the baby gate blocking the doorway, planning to open the door to show her everything was okay. The second my hand reached for the deadbolt, Lucy went wild. She started barking and jumping toward me, and when I touched the metal, she suddenly changed her temper. She whimpered, almost like she was afraid and backing down. As her mannerism changed, so did mine. I wasn't calm anymore. My heart was racing and sinking at the same time. I had been flooded with a mixture of fear and dread. I looked through the peephole. I can't imagine why I looked, but I did. Outside were two kids. One was a smidgen shorter than I, and it didn't look much younger. I'm 21, and she looked to be 16 or 17. She was slender and pale. Her hair was a light shade of honey blonde, and she wore it long, about mid-back, with long, thin, blunt bangs in the front that covered most of her eyes. She wore jeans, a light wash that's popular right now, and a thin-looking olive-colored pullover hoodie. She held the hand of a small girl who looked to be about 3 or 4 in the same style jeans and a button-down ivory cardigan. The smaller one looked at the floor shyly but had the same shade of hair, tied back in a ponytail. She had a stuffed toy under her free arm, and it was identical to one my daughter has, as was their style of dress. Had it not been for the feeling of overwhelming fear and dread, I probably would have asked these children in and given them some tea or hot chocolate to get them out of the bitter cold. But something about them seemed off. At this point, I hadn't made any noise. I hadn't shushed the dog or grumbled nothing. I hadn't turned on any lights. These kids had no indicators I was at the door. The older one spoke. She had a voice that was mature, confident, strong, and accentless. She held her head tilted forward, and I couldn't see her eyes. She said, "We have come to use your phone." I stood frozen in fear. How did she know I was there? She raised her head to face me directly, and that was when I saw her eyes. There was a reason I couldn't see them through her bangs before. They were black or midnight, blue or a dark, dark purple. They were otherworldly. She said, "Our mother is worried." As someone who has always been interested in creepy stories, I knew what she was the second she looked at me through the door, and I have never been one to believe in these things as a staunch atheist and skeptic when it comes to the paranormal. I had written off many a ghost story from friends and family members eager to tell their tale. I still didn't believe it. Still, I couldn't rationalize my way out of this. I was standing with nothing but a thin wooden door between me and a black-eyed kid. There was no questioning what was right in front of me. I did not answer her. Slowly and silently, I backed away from the door. Lucy still cowering at my ankles, she kept talking. "Just let us use your phone." I took another step back, and with that step, the tone changed. At first, she seemed polite. When I took that second step back, she became commanding, almost hostile. "We're not going to hurt you. If we wanted to do that, we would have broken in. I'll ask you again. May we come in and use your phone?" Lucy snarled at the door, and I inched backwards, though something inside me seemed to be slowly pulling me back toward the door. It wasn't a physical pulling so much as a subconscious need to go back and let them in. I got to my room, covered up the window, locked the door, and sat there in the dim light of the nightlight. I heard her call me back to the door once more and then quiet. I didn't go back to sleep that night, and I haven't slept right since. I know from reading about them that the black-eyed kids can't just come in without permission. I know they haven't hurt anyone, but I still fear I'll be the exception. When I told my husband, he said it was just a dream. He kept telling me to forget it. But this lingering feeling of sadness, this dread when the house is silent at night, this fear of a knock at the door, this tells me otherwise. I know it's very, 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 very creepy. Very creepy.
Well, let me read this little introduction I was going to read.
Okay.
To the Black-eyed Children, now that my internet's back up and running. You probably got the gist of what they're about, but I'll just read this out. "Black-eyed Children have but one consistent request. Invite us in. Whatever you do, don't invite them into your home. Imagine this, you and your better half are on your way home after a late night out in the town. You pull into a convenience store and you wait in the car while he runs up something. You're sitting there in the dark waiting for him to return when suddenly you get an inexplicable, overwhelming fear of terror. You sit up in a little and the you sit up a little straighter and glance towards the driver's side window. He's staring in at you. Are two children. But not just any children. These are black-eyed children, and they want to get into the car with you. Sound like something from a horror movie? Well, it's not. It's as real as it gets, according to David Weatherly, paranormal investigator and author who's written a book called Black Eyed Children, Incidents or Visitations by the Strange Children are occurring worldwide. They have one simple request. They want to come in. They appear on doorsteps, car windows, hotel rooms, and even boats. Boats.
Wow.
In the middle of the ocean, let us in. But you already have the to get here. You must have already been in the boat. Weatherly says there are thousands of reported sightings of these black-eyed peas. Sometimes they travel in pairs, sometimes in groups, and sometimes you just see one. They knock on doors and tap on windows all over the world, asking to be let in. Witnesses report these weird children asking to come to the house to use the phone or for a ride home because they're lost or they forgot something. They speak in a demanding monotone, like me, and regardless of what is said to them, they don't say much more. But let us in. We won't hurt you. This won't take long. The most outstanding feature is their solid black eyes, eyes completely void of color or light, showing no pupils, no irises. Witnesses say looking into these eyes evokes intense feelings of terror. Could they be wearing black contact lenses? Whether they agree is that this may be true in some cases. However, black lenses covering the entire surface of the eye would not only be expensive, but extremely uncomfortable. Well, come down in price. I wanted a pair of them, but these strange black-eyed children who can appear or vanish at moments notice seem to be between the ages of 8 and 16. Their skin is pale or pasty-coloured. I was just thinking, you know, if they did buy contact lenses, the ones that you buy these days, the black sclera ones, I think they're called, they probably wouldn't fit most kids.
I know.
Eyes would be too small. Skinny, pasty looking, described by some looking plastic or artificial, and the mannerisms are odd. You know, the men in black sometimes have a similar description as well. Witnesses describe their clothing as odd and drab, blue jeans and a hoodie or very old-fashioned handmade clothing. Bizarre electrical phenomena occurs when they are around, such as a garage door inexplicably opening. What's that film with the rock in it? Escape to Witch Mountain or something?
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of that, you know.
The Rock.
When a man in Dallas arrived home, he saw a boy at his door who repeated, "I think it's food time. You should invite me inside." The man's protective pit bull came running towards the front door, but as it got close to the boy, it whimpered and ran away, hiding under the bed for days afterwards. A man named Paul was home alone when someone knocked on his door. He opened it and saw two kids, about 10-year-olds, standing on the steps with their heads down. They said, "Hey, we just thought we'd stop in for a bit." The kids insisted they'd be let into the house, thinking they had the wrong house. Paul stepped backward to get a better look, made eye contact. Their eyes were solid black, including the sclera.
That's the white part of the eye for anybody who isn't sure what that means.
Weatherly believes they may have some sort of demonic origin because in some reports the black-eyed children vanish into thin air and witnesses report a run of bad luck after encounters with these children. Well, yeah, I kind of thought about the fact that, you know, sometimes, you know, demons have to be invited inside, you know. Maybe it's the same with these kids, but
right.
I don't know. It's strange, but we've got more stories for you, haven't we?
Yes, we do.
I'll read this one out, and then, yeah.
Okay.
Not very long. Bus encounter. I was riding the bus back home after work. It was 1 a.m. I'm a security guard and often work odd hours, so I'm sitting there. It's too many M's. And this guy gets on, sits across from me. He's wearing a suit, had a briefcase, regular looking guy in his 20s. What struck me about him at first was he was chewing a cigar, not smoking it. You can't smoke on the bus. So I was just looking at him while he stared out of the window and chewed his cigar. All of a sudden he turned and looked at me, his eyes was pitch black, just as you described. My heart started beating like a mad...
Like a madman.
And I felt my gorge rising. Ooh.
That sounds strange.
Is that what they call it? I was starting to panic, and I had no idea why. I was terrified. I was terrified of this guy. Then he grinned at me, and his teeth were all covered in tobacco bits and brown juice. The cigar clamped between them. I almost screamed, but instead I had the presence of mind to just get up and take the seat right behind the driver. I bet that freaked the driver out. I calmed down a bit after that, but I kept an eye on the guy. He ended up chatting with some girls that got on, and they were still talking when I got off. I later convinced myself that he was just trolling me, having fun with a pair of contacts. Now I wonder. Yeah, possibility.
Yeah, because, I mean, if he's going to sit there and just sit and talk to a girl, you know, with her, you know what I mean, it's probably just...
But if he'd looked at him and said, can I come inside, then that's when I would have freaked out.
Because you're already on the bus.
Yeah, what's he talking about? Is he on about something else?
Yeah, whatever.
I've got a few news articles. We can come back to the Black Eyed Children. Did you want to do a song?
Yeah, I want to do a song. Let's take a break. And everybody, remember, our lines are open. Our number is 347-215-8421. If you want to share in today's topic, you know, get a simple sample reading, give us a call. Again, that number is 347-215-8421. This is Broken Earth Radio Show, and we will be right And we're back. Were we going to do did you want to do another Black Eyed Kid story? Did you want
to? I've got news articles.
Let's kind of break up the freakiness and well, I mean, I guess that's not really the right word to use. Let's break up the scariness.
Well, I don't know about that.
Freakiness. Okay, let's break up the Black Eyed Kid.
All right. Okay. Where is this? Sorry, I seem to have lost my
mind.
Where is it? Where the hell? Sorry, seem to have lost my here it is. Now we've all heard the story about Michael Jackson and the monkey.
Right.
Man allowed hyena to eat his genitals because a witch doctor told him it would make him rich.
Okay.
A man has been left without genitals and three missing toes after a witch doctor told him that losing his body parts make him rich. Chamangeni Zulu from Malawi has been hospitalized after
the witch doctor told him.
Chipata General Hospital in Zambia. Sorry, Jesus, this is difficult. Near the Malawi border, after he allowed the hyena to eat his manhood, Mr. Zulu told the Times of Zambia yesterday that he was promised by a witch doctor that sacrificing his body parts would make him become rich. I met some business persons who told me the best way to become rich was to sacrifice parts of my body, he told the paper. At around 4 a.m. on Monday last week, the man went into the Zambian bush. Mr. Zulu said, I was instructed to be naked, and a hyena came to me and started eating my toes, and eventually my manhood was eaten. Mr. Zulu said the witch doctor did not make it clear that his body parts would be lost.
Well, he said to sacrifice them.
I had to eat them. What did he expect? Yet, despite the horrific ordeal, Mr. Zulu admitted he was still hopeful of becoming rich.
He still could become rich.
Even if
with his story, he's always going
to become rich. Well, that's it, yeah. I lost some important parts of my body. I still want to get rich. Just proves you can't have your penis and eat it.
That's an interesting question, though. I mean, go on. I'm sorry. My mouth wouldn't stop moving.
What?
The question?
Which question?
That would be an interesting esoteric question of, what body part would you sacrifice to become rich, to become, would you sacrifice a body part? A body part, not just like some people sell their eggs, some people sell their baby stuff. What would you sell? Not necessarily.
I'd sell a baby to become rich.
I said baby stuff.
Oh. Malawi man has been living and working in Zambia for the past 4 months. Chapati Hospital describes the man's condition as stable. And he said that he'd been brought to the hospital by police officers.
Mm.
In 2012, 50 miles from the same spot in the area of Chidiza, a man was attacked in the country after going out to the toilet in his garden.
Mm.
Isaac Mwala, 42, said that he saw a black animal which looked like a dog leap at him before he mauled his leg. After the attack, villagers appealed to the Zambia Wildlife Authority to call the member. Call all the members to call the number of hyenas in the area. It's a bit of a tongue there. So about the hyena.
My goodness. Hyenas have cell phones. What next?
Do they?
Mm-hmm. What next?
From Kim Kardashian's Vampire Facials, I have no idea what that is, which draws her own blood before injecting it back into her face. Sammy Cowell's beloved sheep placenta facials. There's some weird and wonderful beauty treatments on the market today, but one grandmother's bizarre beauty secret has just gone and trumped them all. 67-year-old Stella Ralphini from London says that her key to eternal youth is semen facials. It's worth thousands and thousands, but it's free, she explains in a YouTube video, is it? Well, all you need is a lover, but if you don't have one, you know what to do. All you need to do is, every 10 days or 2 weeks, just both have a good time. Make sure it is a good time, and when your beautiful lovemaking sessions are over, you're going to scoop this amazing sperm mask up on your fingers, smear it on your face, leave it there for 15 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
She goes on. I know some of you are thinking, what is she saying? But we have to assume that your lover is a healthy, clean man and eats wells.
Oh my
It is Stella, who described herself as an author, life coach, and cum dumpster, couples counsellor and tantric guide, explains that she learned the bizarre anti-aging trick during her time in India, where she was studying a lovemaking method called Tantra. Writing on her website, she said, I came across one of the most beautiful women I'd ever seen. She told me she was in her late 60s, but much younger. Her skin was so smooth and line free. I had to know a secret. So if that's the case, all porn stars should look really young.
Oh, my goodness. Now, right. just in case somebody is stuck on the Kim Kardashian vampire facial.
top comments on that was, come again?
Actually, sometimes, like, I don't watch the show, to be honest, but I've heard about it. Like, sometime last year, like last summer, she was telling people that she was going to have a vampire facial, but it's actually a blood facial. And it's a procedure that I think what they're doing is they're doing something where they're putting your blood on you, or they're doing something like that. But anyway, it's, I don't know. I know people just do things. People do things.
Somebody said that she ends up with a face like a plasterer's radio. What? That's crazy. Bought a book the other day that I'll probably share with you at some point once I've read it. The Labyrinth of Time by Anthony Peake. I was talking to him on Facebook the other day. I managed to get a book. It's very interesting. Now, he did say he might include one of my stories, precognition stories, in the book. I did have a quick skim through the section that it should be in. I don't think it's there, which is disappointing. But you never know. Once I've read the whole thing, I might find it. But I had precognition the other day. In fact, it wasn't last night, it was the night before. Actually, forget that. Yesterday morning, I had some biscuits and I hadn't sealed the packet properly, so I thought, I'll throw the top biscuit away. And I went to put it in the bin, and I thought, well, I'll give it to the birds. And then I remembered I had a dream of me doing the same thing, and I went over to the window. And I was like, and then I went over to the window, and then I broke it in my hands like this, and then threw it out the window. I don't know why, but I had a dream of that thing the next day. I don't know what use that is, but precognition. But like Captain Hindsight. You're like my superpower. Useless precognition.
Well, it's practice, right? It's just practice. Sometimes we need to practice.
Yeah.
But Captain Hindsight was pretty funny.
Yeah.
The power to tell you about things that already happened. Oh my gosh, that really did happen.
You should have done this. That wouldn't have happened. Fucking Captain Hindsight just goes out and leaves the burning building. They need to bring out another series of South Park. I know they've been working on the Stick of Truth video game that's just come out, but anyway. Okay, do you want to read out another...
Somebody just sent me a message, and we'll have to see. Somebody's telling me that the two suns is a hoax.
You're saying there was a star that's going to be in there?
Yeah.
Well.
Somebody said it's a hoax. We'll see. We'll just, everybody will be looking outside.
It's just a lens flare.
Well, we'll see. So, anyway, the esoteric question for people to think about today, pick a number between 1 and 50.
That's not a very good question.
Pick a number between 1 and
50. 25.
Okay, now pick a number between 15 and 25.
18.
Are you holding on to something that you need to let go of? That's the esoteric question.
Every day.
That's the esoteric question of the day. Are you holding on to something that you need to let go?
Yeah, I've had this pack of bananas for about a month now. It's not in a good condition. I got a load of bananas and I got home and then like the next day they'd all split. All the skins had split open.
We're going to take a break. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the black-eyed kids. The black-eyed kids. This is Broken Earth Radio Show. Give us a call. Our number is 347-215-8421. We will be right back.
Tune in to Broken Earth on blogtalkradio.com. 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the UK.
Broken Earth.
Gonna kick it roots down.
So how you gonna kick it?
Gonna kick it roots down.
Okay. That was so beautiful. Okay, so here's a story called Halloween. Okay.
You know, who sounds like a parody of himself?
You.
No, the bloke from the Haunted Collector.
He sounds like
a Simpsons doing, sorry, not Simpsons, South Park doing a version of him on one of their shows.
I mean, I can hear his voice.
Yeah, and I'm just listening to him talk. Just have a listen to him. Next time you're watching it, just listen to it. It's hilarious.
Okay, I will do that. But I still think you kind of sound like a parody of yourself. Okay, so check this out. This story is called Halloween, okay? Now, I'm reading this story.
This is so funny.
I know, that's what I'm reading this story. Anyway, I've never heard of the BEKs before my incident, so I come on here to post my story, and the first story I see is about a BEK. Weird. And remember, BEK is Black Eyed Kids. Okay.
Yes.
Let me preface this by saying I by no means am a writer, just a domestic engineer living in North Texas. Also, I don't believe in the paranormal, ghosts, demons, aliens, whatever. However, I did have an event happen to me this Halloween. I have to admit, has me scratching my head. This is my first post on Reddit, and I'm sorry to say I'd never even heard about it until yesterday. I told my best friend about my incident, and she's an avid reader of No Sleep, and she told me if I didn't post it, she would. So here I am. Anyway, hope you like. It was a slow trick-or-treat night in our neighborhood that evening, which is pretty odd in itself. We usually have kids from different areas dropped off in hours and have a constant parade at our door. That night, I'd say we had no more than 8 or 10 groups of kids come by the entire night. It was about 9:30 p.m., and my husband and I were sitting in our family room watching some of those ghost shows based on actual events. Like I said, I don't believe in that stuff, but I do like a good ghost story now and then, and it was Halloween and all. We hadn't had any activity at the door in over half an hour, and it was getting late, so we decided to turn the porch light off and let our dog Chloe out of her crate. Chloe is an American Bulldog and is very docile. We only put her in her crate because we were afraid she'd try to get out to play with all the kids, and I didn't want to have to chase after her down the street. So, and we also didn't want to scare any of the kids because she would look like an intimidating dog to younger kids. I turned the outside light off, let Chloe out, and she followed me back to the couch and laid down at my feet. It was about 10 p.m. when my husband decided he had enough fun for the night and was going to go upstairs, take a shower, and get ready for bed. My teenage son was out with his friends at a local haunted house and wasn't expected back for another hour, so that left me alone on the couch with Chloe. Okay, now here we go. It wasn't long after I heard the upstairs water for the shower turn on when there came a light knock, knock, knock at the front door. My initial reaction was, really? It's almost 10. But soon an uneasy feeling came over me. Why the knock? Our doorbell glows in the dark, and without the porch light, it would be extra obvious to anyone there. I paused. I couldn't really ignore it. Our front door has a big beveled glass panel, and anybody right at the door could see in enough to see someone was in the family room watching TV. It would be pretty rude for me to just sit there. Knock, 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 again from the door. I glanced down at Chloe, and she was gone. My gaze followed her usual path to the front door. Her eyes followed her path to the front door, followed her usual path to the front door, expecting her to be on her way there as she normally is, but nothing, she wasn't there. So I stood up, looked around the room better, and found her crouching by the back door like she was wanting out. However, she never asked to go out like that. She always comes and licks my hand or puts her head on my knee. That was totally out of character for her, and this also kind of made me a little bit more anxious. Chloe Crate, I said. She turned back to look at me like, no, I'm not moving. I yelled up to my husband, but if he was already in the shower, I knew there was no chance of him hearing me. Knock, knock, knock. About that time, a car drove down our street
and cast
enough light on the door to where she could see the silhouettes of two small kids through the glass. I instantly felt relief. It was just some kids, probably a couple of neighbors on their way back home that wanted to stop by and show some costumes or something. I went to the door and looked back to make sure Chloe wasn't going to follow. What a great watchdog, right? I turned on the porch light when I got to the door, and sure enough, I could see through the glass that it was a couple of pretty small kids. A little late for such young ones, I thought, and I began to wonder what kind of parents would let their kids run the streets that late at night. I only opened the door enough to where I could block Chloe's escape if she decided to, you know, to jump out at them, which was only about 2 feet. But what struck me immediately as odd was the kids weren't wearing costumes. They were in normal street clothes. There's no trick or treat either. I began to feel really uneasy again.
This is a long story.
I know. It was a girl and a boy. It's a long story because she keeps having all these little things on the side talking about how she doesn't believe this or she doesn't believe that. So I'm trying to edit that out.
Yeah.
It was a girl and a boy. The girl to her left was older. I'd like to say about 11 or 12. I could see she was blonde, but I couldn't make out any distinct features or lights are from high above and on the columns at the front of the porch. So most of the light was coming from behind them. I had not opened the door wide enough for any light from inside to hit them directly. The boy was younger and about a foot shorter, about 8 or 9, and he looked like he had brown hair. The girl very politely spoke up. Ma'am, can we please come inside and use your phone to call our mom? As she spoke, something in the pit of my stomach was telling me something was wrong. What kid, even at that age, doesn't have a cell phone? I couldn't remember the last time I'd had anybody ask to use my home phone. Hun, don't you have a phone of your own you can call your mom on? I asked. This is when things got really weird. Both kids turned to look at one another like they were going to say something to one another, but neither spoke. They turned back to me, and the girl said, ma'am, my cell phone battery doesn't have any charge left in it. Can we please come inside and call our mother? We're alone out here. My brother is scared. I have to admit there were two competing feelings going on inside me. The first, that of a mother's heart. The other, a sinking fear in my gut that was keeping the other feeling at bay. It was then that I noticed that during the short conversation, I'd already started opening the door a few extra inches, which I was completely unaware I was doing, so I stopped. Honey, why don't you give me your mother's number and I'll call her myself? Another pause, and they again looked at one another. Then she says, ma'am, my little brother has to use your bathroom. Can we please come inside while you call our mom? And with that last statement, the little girl moved closer toward the door like she was going to just walk on in. As she did, she stepped into the light coming from inside the house, and I got my first real good look at her. Solid jet black eyes, that's all I could see. That motherly instinct was gone and replaced by terror. I don't think I've ever felt in my life. I could feel every hair on my arm and the back of my neck standing at attention. I closed the door to where my face was able to stick out. The little girl stopped and again pleaded, please, ma'am, we're really scared and alone out here. We have to come inside. Please help us. Then, like that, both of the kids began to whimper and cry. That's when my fear took over and I shut and locked the door. I'll call your mom if you give me the number, I shouted through the door, but I'm not letting you in my house. I could see them stand there on the porch just staring at me through the beveled glass pane. Part of me wanted to run upstairs to my husband, but the bigger part didn't want to lose track of where they were. That would have freaked me out even more to not know where they were. After what seemed like forever, but probably only a few seconds, I decided I'd call my neighbor that lives across the street. As I made my way to the side table by our couch to my phone, I glanced at the back door. Chloe was nowhere to be found. We later found her in the guest room under the bed. When I got to my phone and started to look for his contact info, it was only then that the kids stepped away from the door and began to walk to the street. As they did, I walked to the door to get a better look to see where they went. Still not calling my neighbor. If you get close enough to the glass, you can see out enough to make out people's shapes, but you can see much, but you can't see much detail. Of course, standing that close to the door would make you pretty obvious to anyone outside looking in. From the door, I could see the kids were still standing under the street lamp nearest my house, staring at me. As I lifted the phone to my ear after calling, only did the kids start walking down the street. I met my neighbor out under the lamp once he was out there, but the kids were nowhere to be seen. Like I said, I don't believe in any of this stuff and never heard about black-eyed kids before talking to my friend. What I really think, what I have to think, is that these kids were just out yanking people's chains on Halloween night. But I will say this for them. They were good, really good at it. They scared the crap out of me and my dog. And that's the end of her story, her long, 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 unnecessarily long story.
It was almost like they were using telepathy with each other.
To change their stories, you mean?
As they looked at each other, you know, as if they were coming up with something, you know.
Maybe. Maybe. So what do you think? Would you cut off, or would you sacrifice a body part to be rich? And if so, what body part would it be?
How rich are we talking here?
$2 billion.
It'd have to be a whole part or something.
It would have to be a body part. It would have to be a significant body part.
Significant, like a toe, then. A toe.
Okay. You know, honestly, I don't think I would. I don't think I could. I just can't. No. For $2 billion. I mean, I know that things can be replaced and stuff like that for the most part. But I don't think I would sacrifice anything.
Yeah, it doesn't seem right, does it?
Mm-mm. I just can't imagine somebody wanting to be rich so bad that... Well, I'm actually, you know what, I'm not even going to say that, because whenever I say, I just can't imagine something... Something always happens to make me be able to imagine it. So I'm not even going to say that. But, yeah.
Here's a story about Bigfoot. I watched this bloke was on a documentary, in inverted commas, watched recently, and I said it was about Bigfoot hunters, and at the end it went really weird, like some Blair Witch Project.
Right.
Anyway, this is a bloke that was on the documentary. The Texas man who claimed amid huge publicity to have shot dead the legendary Bigfoot after luring it with Mall-Mart pork ribs has admitted the corpse is a fake. Rick Dyer, the self-proclaimed best Bigfoot tracker in the world, said the 8-foot-tall body he named Hank is a $700 prop made from latex foam and camel hair. The far from startling truth emerged on Monday, following a huge falling out between Dyer and his business associates, who raked in close to $60,000 over the past month touring the nation with the fake Bigfoot body. Used car salesman Dyer, who was previously involved in a Bigfoot hoax in 2008 when a corpse he put on public display turned out to be a rubber suit, said he shot Hank near San Antonio, Texas in September 2012. According to the San Antonio Express News, Dyer was confronted by his spokesman and fellow Bigfoot aficionado Andrew Clacy last week about the validity of the corpse, for which they charged $10 to see. The truth apparently was outed during these arguments amid the threat of lawsuits. Clayton emailed the San Antonio Express News to announce the lie, saying, "I confronted Mr. Dyer in Daytona on my suspicions." And he admitted to me personally that the body of Hank was not a real body, but rather a construct of a company from Washington State, which was paid for by Rick Dyer. "I'm available and willing to cooperate with the federal state law enforcement." On his part, Dyer has admitted his lies, taking to his now deleted Facebook account to say, "From this moment on, I will speak the truth, no more lies. Tall tales and wild goose chases to mess with the haters. I never treated anyone bad. I'm a joker. I play around. That's just me." Chris Russell, who owns Twisted Toy Box in Washington State, has admitted manufacturing the prop after a request from Dyer last year. Chris Russell of Twisted Toy Box told the Seattle Times he created the corpse in November and December, but was lied to by Dyer. "I was told the body would be used in making a film about killing Bigfoot," Russell said in an email. Russell said it took him about 2 weeks to make the fake corpse. "I was asked to make the prop look like a poorly made old and mottled taxidermy prop that had not been preserved correctly. Dyer did send photos and drawings taken from the internet and asked for certain features to be replicated." Russell also said that Dyer sent images to update him on the progress, and that Dyer then used one of these photos to create a false medical scar on the corpse. False medical scan of the corpse. This medical scan was nothing more than a cell phone photo of the head sculpture that I took, was put into Photoshop and made into a negative by Dyer. According to Russell, Dyer plans for a baby Bigfoot, a female, to be created, and that Dyer initially made him sign a non-disclosure agreement and not to discuss the model. While it's not known how much the Bigfoot hunter paid for the fake corpse, a full body mummy suit on their website costs $700, although a custom design would be more expensive. While it's unclear how the enforcement will proceed, Dyer is admitted to essentially running a fraudulent business, charging £10 a ticket to see the real corpse of Bigfoot. However, while Dyer is admitted Hank is not real, claims to have generally shot and killed a Bigfoot in 2012, but doesn't want to show anyone in case the body is stolen. Yeah, right. Dyer unveiled a fake body to huge publicity in February, saying Bigfoot is not the tooth fairy, Bigfoot is real. Anyway, it goes on. It goes on and on.
Yeah.
But there you go. So that's another one that's going to come out. Oh, I've got the body still, but I don't want to, someone might take it, so we'll bring that out in a few years, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Try it again.
Hasn't he been doing stuff for a while? Is that the guy?
Yeah, it's 2008. It was the same couple.
I thought he was doing... who was the person that was doing stuff a while back? I don't know. I think the last name just maybe is throwing me off or something. I thought that there's somebody that had been doing stuff since like the 80s or the 70s or something.
Yeah, probably. Let's play a song and have a break.
All right. We'll do that. Who do I sound like?
That woman off... Bob's Burgers.
All right, Bob. Her voice is very, very, very annoying. This is Broken Earth Radio Show. If anybody wants to give us a call, 347-215-8421, and we will be right back. We'll be right back.
perfect right time.
Waiting for the gift of sound and vision.
And we're back. You know, I looked it up. I should have probably done this before. And there is something that's saying that there's not a second sun going to be appearing, which really, really, really sucks.
Well, I wasn't too sure. I mean, from the way you described it, it sounded like there was, you know, we're going to see a star in the sky at the same time as the sun. But, yeah, sorry. Usually can't see this. Well, you know.
What?
That's all.
Oh.
Okay, I'll read out this next story here, which is about a fifth of the size, probably a tenth the size ones. You must let me in. On March 17th, 2008, I had one of mine only, sorry, I had my one and only encounter with a black-eyed kid. Before my experience, I'd never heard of anything having to do with the black-eyed kids. I was 12, and I was sitting outside of a hairdresser's, an old Chevy pickup, waiting for my mum to get her haircut. About 15 minutes had passed when I saw some kid walking back and forth along the sidewalk in front of my parked car. At first, I thought I recognized him as one of my friends from school, so I banged on the front windshield until he looked my way. It was not anyone I knew. At this point, I was not scared at all. Not yet. The boy walked over to the side of my car, and I just stared. What? I think to let me get a good look at his eyes, to freak me out. Let me tell you, if you've never seen a black-eyed kid, you have no idea what to imagine. Pupils black as the night sky. Well, yes.
And the boy whispers,
"You must let me in."
Then I locked the car doors and ducked down into the space between the seats. 5 minutes later, he was gone. When my mother got in the car, she told me a boy with black eyes had came into the hairdresser's and insisted my mother to give him the keys to the car. She refused. Thank God she did.
What? I don't know about Big Taco. That person's name is Big Taco.
Yeah, it sounds a bit weird. It says pupils were black as a night sky. So are my pupils.
Everybody's pupils are black.
Exactly.
I think it was just some kid on bath salt. I'm just kidding.
Probably.
They just stared. I think we get the picture, though. These kids are creepy. These kids are creepy. Creepy-looking kids. I haven't ever seen it. I haven't ever seen one. I've seen some icky stuff.
No, I haven't seen one. I walked into the bathroom this morning, and I was like, spider web covered me. It's like it was all in my head down to my like legs. It was like it was about 6 foot high, the spider web. It was all over me.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find a spider though.
You what now?
I couldn't find the spider though.
But well, maybe it left.
Maybe.
They come back. Like, I think they go off and they build other webs, don't they?
The World Wide Web.
They don't have to stay in the web. Sometimes they do. I've seen people put, like give, like put animals in the web, like bugs in the web, rather, which I think is kind of mean.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I think it's
mean. I used to just get a stick and then poke the spider's web when I was younger. Then the spider came out.
Spiders everywhere. So, what are some of your other news stories that you have? Because this is I think it's because it's so early in the day for us. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I am tired. Okay, here's, I thought this was odd. oh, sorry. A supermarket cash machine has been installed just 15 inches off the ground in Nottingham. The Sainsbury's spokesman said the cash machine was installed so low down because it was located on a hill. The supermarket added that it had not had any complaints about the height, but was looking at moving the machine, thought to be Britain's lowest.
Mm-hmm.
15 inches off the ground. It's the squat to use it. Some bloke there with the. I'll stick this in the chat room so you see some bloke trying to use it.
blue, electric blue.
There you go.
Cash machine found 15 inches off ground. Oh. Forget it. Well, maybe it's for small people. I wonder if they have like a program where you can find cash machines just for little people.
Maybe.
And maybe that's one of them. But you would think they would have a bigger one next to it as well.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what? I have seen one that was low before. I actually have seen one that was relatively low before.
Low down.
It's been a while, though. It's one of those things where you just kind of make a mental note of, wow, that's weird, but you just don't even really, you know, unless you need it.
Well, around Britain, there was post boxes appearing. You know, the ones built into walls.
Mm-hmm.
In the most ludicrous places where they couldn't be used. Like, on a wall, like, 15 feet up in the air. Or, like, on the side of a bridge. It's weird. April's...
Are you kidding?
No. Nope, I'm not. April's Fool's Day pranks were often known to be macabre.
Macabre.
When a Florida man spotted that what appeared to be a mannequin made to look like a corpse outside his work Tuesday, he tossed it in the trash without giving it a second thought. It was not until police arrived hours later that 16-year-old Ronald Benjamin of St. Petersburg learned the prop he had hurled into the dumpster was actually a deceased 96-year-old woman. The victim jumped to her death on the 16th floor of the Peterborough Apartments senior housing complex where she lived, landing on the pavement outside. That's where Benjamin, who was manning the front desk in the apartment building, came upon the body where he went out for smoke. The shapeless form on the ground resembled a mannequin, and Benjamin concluded that a reveller returning from a bar must have left it there as a ghoulish April Fool's joke.
Mm.
2 hours later, another staffer at the housing complex raised concerns about the human figure on the patio, but Benjamin assured it was a fake. When a delivery woman and her son came by with to drop off newspapers, Benjamin asked the boy to help him dispose of the dummy with a knot of grey hair on its head. Benjamin later recalled the figure was very light as he and the boy tossed it into the garbage bin. The clerk did notice there was some blood on the ground, but he dismissed it as fake gore. It was around 8:30 a.m. A maintenance worker opened the dumpster to discover the body of a 96-year-old woman who had committed suicide overnight. The news left Mr. Benjamin stunned and unable to sleep. He insisted that the victim's face looked rubbery, just like a Halloween mask. If I ever thought for one instant it was a real person, I would have called the police, my manager, everyone I could think of. The man is not expected facing charges, but he was fired in the aftermath of the incidents after 9 years on the job. The suicide victim is reportedly of a native of England who came to the US after World War II. Their neighbours described the 96-year-old woman as bright and well-read with a mental
acumen. Not acumen.
Of a person of half her age. According to Detective Benjamin, may have mistaken the victim's face for a mask because it had been distorted by rigor mortis by the time he found it.
Maybe it was a gas leak. No.
What?
Gas. No, I think gas would melt their faces off. That is so scary and creepy, though. What?
You got fired.
You got fired.
Stupid.
Anyhow. This is a really nice, quiet day.
It's not for me. People stomping around.
You deserve it. Let's take another break. Welcome back to Broken Earth Radio Show. That song was really, really nice. I like that. It's called Rome. if anybody wants to know the names of the songs we've been using today, we've had Love Don't Roam. That's actually from Doctor Who. Walking Away, which is a song from Bill Knows.
Limp Bizkit.
Root Down, which is the Beastie Boys. Sound and Vision, which is David Bowie. And, of course, the last song we just listened to is Rome. And I can't even remember who does that song. So, you know. Sorry about that. But I really like it, so check that out. We're going to probably be cutting the show short today, just about 30 minutes, because Bill's not feeling too great, and it's been nice and slow, which is really probably what he needed for us to get back on the wagon again. So the next time, are we going to be talking about Who Built the Moon, or are you not sure yet?
No, I mentioned that. We would have done that, haven't we?
No, we never did it. Well, did we do that?
I read some out of the book. Sure I did.
It has been a month.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to do another Black Eyed Kid story before we cut out. And I'm trying to look through these. And there's another Halloween one. Here it goes. Trick or treat. This really freaked me out. Yesterday I noticed my neighbor hadn't put out all his Halloween decorations, his lights, etc. The past 2 years I've lived next to him, he's gone all out for Halloween. I don't know him well. He's younger, single, but I know he likes kids, not in a creepy way. Like somebody had to say that. His brother and sister-in-law and their kids are always visiting him, and he plays with his three young nieces and nephews out in the yard. So anyway, I got home from work and was walking up my driveway, and I saw him outside and said something like, "Hey, man, you better get your Halloween stuff up, or that house up the street is going to beat you for the best decorations." He kind of smiles sheepishly and says that he's actually going to keep his house dark this year and just put candy out. I asked if he was going out of town, but he said no, something happened last year that really scared him. Now, I was concerned for my own safety. If some weirdos were coming around our neighborhood, it's a pretty safe neighborhood with tons of young families living here. So I asked him what happened, and he said last year he had his brother's family over so they could trick-or-treat in the neighborhood since they live in an apartment complex that doesn't do much for Halloween. He had a bunch of kids come to the door like always. His family took off around 10:30, and there were only a few older trick-or-treaters. But by 11:30, they were pretty much gone. So he was inside watching TV, and the doorbell rings. He grabs the candy bowl and heads over, noticing that it's a little past midnight, and that's pretty rude for trick-or-treaters to be still out. But then he notices he hasn't turned off all his decoration lights. Isn't that nice? He's blaming himself. So his house is still a beacon. He swings the door open and is about to yell boo or something to freak them out, but stops dead when he sees the kids at the door. He said one was probably around 13 or 14 and the other around 16 or 17, both boys. Have you noticed that everybody says that they're between, like, two ages?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. They weren't dressed up, but he remembers the older one was wearing a flannel checkered shirt. He was immediately overcome with uneasiness, like opening the door was a huge mistake. They just stared at him, and he noticed that they had really big irises and dilated pupils. He couldn't see even the whites of their eyes, so he figured they were contact lenses. He was frozen there holding the candy bowl, like he couldn't slam the door in their face as much as he wanted to. So he nervously tried to smile at them, hoping they would just break character and ask for candy or something. The younger one said that they had gotten lost and needed to come in and use his phone. That was when he closed the door more than halfway on them and said, "No, sorry." And the older one said something like, "Can we just wait?" in your house until our parents come get us. But by then he was convinced that his life was in danger and these kids must be high or something or intending to rob him. And he just kept mumbling, "No, sorry, good night," as he inched the door closed and locked it. He told me he was so scared at that point that he was going to try to break in, that they were going to try to break in at, you know, break one of his windows or something. But he looked through the peephole and they had turned to leave. He watched TV with the volume really low so he could hear any sounds at all. And he said he stayed up till like 5 in the morning because he was too scared to go to bed and drop his guard. The whole time he's telling me this, I'm thinking, oh, my God, this sounds so familiar, just like the Black Eyed Kids urban legend. Then I thought, hey, maybe this dude is trying to scare me because, after all, he does have the Halloween spirit. So I'm looking at him incredulously but trying not to seem too gullible. So I'm like, man, that is really crazy. Sounds like the Black Eyed Kids. He just looks at me blankly. Then what? Is that Is that a movie or something? And I said no, but told him to go look it up online. About an hour later, I get a knock on my door and admittedly almost jump out of my skin thinking it's a demon child. And it was my neighbor, and his eyes were huge. He swears to me up and down that he had never heard of Black Eyed Kids before, and it's so similar to what happened to him. So we talked a while longer, and I told him that quite a few people probably know about the urban legend, and it was probably just some kids with some black scleral contacts trying to freak people out on Halloween, which would be genius, by the way. But he said that the fear he had was so primal and came over him the second he opened the door for them. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, there's no stories about them actually getting into anybody's house.
Yeah. There might be. We'll have to have a look. Maybe we'll add them to the next one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, yeah, we're going to try to scour and see if there's anybody who actually has stories of actually being hurt by them. Well, you know what? How could they have stories if they got them, right? But how could they have stories if the Black Eyed Kids got the people?
Well, they might not have got them.
We'll just have to see, won't we?
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank everybody for listening, whether you're listening here in the chat room or out there in the ether or on demand. But this is Broken Earth Radio Show, and we'll be back next week, hopefully, if Bill's doing okay, at 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the U.K. Have a wonderful, 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 wonderful weekend. Have a very good Easter time or Ishtar, whatever it is that you celebrate, Passover. What other stuff do people celebrate right now?
Easter Bunny.
Well, I'm trying to find something nice for us to go out with. Oh, I hear something awesome for us to go out with, and I hope everybody's enjoying the brand new season of Game of Thrones. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye-bye.